Κρήτη.
In Crete, beauty never ends. There are landscapes, paths, and experiences you won't find on any map, simply because most people have never seen them. Not because they are far away, but because you need the right perspective to discover them. With the right people by your side, people who know the island like few others and can offer you trust and safety. You can experience a Crete that others completely miss. With us to guide us through this side of Crete are Ms. Volia Andriadaki and Mr. Thomas Viskadourakis, the team behind Crete on the Rocks. Welcome, and thank you for accepting the invitation to be here with us.
Great to be here. Good morning from us as well.
Thanks for having us, we really appreciate it.
Thank you for being here, and let's start off a little unconventionally. This conversation is for everyone, who can take part. Are the activities you organize open to all, or are they aimed at specific groups?
I think anyone on our island, and beyond, can join our excursions. From young kids to adults, even older folks.
Do they need any training or experience? What if someone has only walked in the city and never really been in nature, can they still take part?
Generally speaking, most people are in moderate physical shape. You don't need to connect mountain activities with your athletic background, because people ask us that a lot. I don't train, I don't run, I don't hike much, but that's not necessarily linked to these activities. And I say necessarily, because like with any activity, these two come with different levels of difficulty, so someone can start as a complete beginner, and both Thomas and I have the certifications to guide someone who's never done this before, even a small child, through one of these activities. And then, depending on what you're aiming to achieve, you can start thinking about your athletic level and physical shape. Of course, these are physically active outings. So if someone has seriously limited mobility, then we're talking about a different level of support in terms of management. But for the general public, absolutely yes. In the planning, but for the general public, yes.
So people can bring their children along too?
They already have, and it's a great experience, and even more so.
More fun for us. And for us too, because we get different feedback from kids, they have less fear.
And honestly, kids try something for the first time and it feels like they've been doing it for years. You give them a simple instruction, and they follow it exactly. They're incredibly confident with it.
And I imagine very enthusiastic too.
Yes, and I've had parents call me the day after an excursion to say, last night I put my son and his little brother to bed and he told me it was the best day of his life.
That's beautiful.
We've heard that many times, and in general, children by nature, humans, really, from birth, are made not to feel fear or limitations that we ourselves start placing on them in a structured environment. As soon as they are born, we start with all the don'ts and musts. Of course, even in outdoor activities there are certain rules, and children actually have the ability to follow them, but they also have this pure instinct for survival. And I don't mean survival in a dramatic sense. Just the ability to move through rocks, to hold on, to find balance, to figure out how to move. It's easier for them. They don't care about getting their clothes dirty. They'll just sit on a rock to keep going. While adults think differently, they worry about their shoes, their clothes. Kids are just more spontaneous.
So can we say in the end that it's safe to climb rocks and cross rivers? Because unfortunately, even in 2025, like every year, we are already seeing accidents happen. Even fatalities, among people trying to explore Crete's nature. Without necessarily having taken the right precautions. So yes, all these activities are safe, but with a caveat.
Look, there are rules, and there's equipment, and the proper use of that equipment. And of course, there are the instructions given by the guide or instructor on each outing. When we follow all that and stay within those guidelines, there's absolutely no chance of an accident or fatality. The trouble starts when people begin cutting corners. And usually it's people who are becoming more experienced gradually. And they start letting things slide. especially when it comes to safety.
They slowly build confidence and start thinking, oh, come on, we can skip this part. Let's leave that out too. Or I know this, I've got this. But if we look at the data, the statistics you share too, and it's good you do. We need to learn from our mistakes and move forward, especially here in Crete, but not only here. Most cases involve people who went out on spontaneous excursions without a guide with them.
I don't think anything has ever happened with a guide. Something organized that resulted in an accident. Usually it's people who end up messaging emergency services to look for them, meaning they were alone.
Yes, these activities are safe, as long as you've truly taken all the right precautions. People hear precautions and imagine something dramatic, like the amount of water you should carry, wearing the right shoes, because we're also talking about minor accidents that usually happen, like a sprain, especially if you're walking on rocky terrain in flip-flops, which is common along the coastlines tourists love to hike on. Hiking in Crete means uneven terrain. It's not like the trails in northern countries, soft with pine needles, nicely shaped. Here the terrain is rough, so yes, and especially when we're talking about rope activities, like climbing, canyoning, or via ferrata, these should only be done with guidance, with certified guides who are trained to offer these experiences, and with certified equipment.
Earlier you mentioned how people call you and say, it was the best day of my life. Have you had people come to you and try this kind of outing for the first time? I'd love to hear what impressions those people had.
There are people with fear of heights or vertigo. And they come because they want to overcome that fear. One of our close friends had both fear of heights and vertigo. And now this year she's heading to France to train as an assistant instructor. And many people who think they're afraid, but in the end they go for it and evolve. And the feeling they get afterwards is incredible, pure satisfaction.
They demystify fear. Fear is an instinct, it makes sense. You're afraid of what you don't know. So if you've never been to the mountains, you don't know them. So you're afraid. But with the right introduction, in an environment like that, one you've never been in before, you break down that fear. Many times people call us, and they already have the motivation. They have curiosity. And that curiosity, that instinct we all have, drives us toward adventure, and that's a good thing. And that's fine too, to be in the city, at a cafe, enjoying a meal. That's all great, of course. But we also need movement, and we need physical activity. And I don't think there's a single person today who doesn't know how beneficial contact with nature is, for mental health and physical health, of course. What's interesting is that people call us when they tell us it's their first time doing an outdoor activity. They also share their anxiety and fear. And many times it takes a long conversation before you realize that what they're describing as vertigo is actually something very normal. We all feel it if we stand on the edge of a balcony, 30 meters above ground. Of course you'll feel fear, it's survival instinct, and it's valid. But in that case, you don't have any equipment to hold you, nor guidance. So, many times, you need a proper phone conversation to understand what they'll actually be doing. And of course, once they show up and make the decision to take part, because the first step is deciding to show up. The next step is trusting the gear. And it's our responsibility to cultivate and build that trust. We don't take someone who's new and anxious straight into an advanced level. The first thing we do, literally on the ground, is help them understand that it's the gear that's holding them. And we look at how the whole mechanism works, physically.
It makes sense, and it's smart, to start from an easy route and gradually build up.
It's actually easier for us when people are up on the ropes and we can control them. They're in control themselves, but we're also monitoring everything. So we're confident in those situations. Honestly, it's safer to rappel down a 20-meter waterfall than to walk down the pavement, because there, we have total control. They're secured.
It's a guided route.
Yes.
And monitored by you.
Tell us some places you'd recommend to someone who says, I've never been out in nature, never followed a trail. Places in Crete that are beginner-friendly, let's say.
For someone to hike on their own.
With you.
If someone's never hiked before, or if they have at least some basic level, because the answer would be different. It's one thing if someone's never walked at all, except maybe doing a short run on the pavement. I think a hiking gorge would be perfect, a hiking route without ropes. It's the first point of contact. And I think even for us, living in Crete, which is known as the land of 100 gorges, even though there are more, because they have vertical cliffs. So you come into contact with that verticality, and the terrain is rough. You'll need to climb over small rocks, very low ones, so you'll get a sense of whether you enjoy this kind of struggle, because for some people it's fantastic. You overcome an obstacle, it feels like a natural theme park, a goal you're conquering. And the walking is easy, shaded, not too intense given the high temperatures we get on the island. I think it's a great first experience. I don't know if Thomas has another idea.
Of course, and I believe that even a total beginner, someone who's never done anything, can try a small canyoning route.
I agree.
There are small descents, it's all downhill, no uphill climbs, so you won't get tired.
No physical fitness required.
And they can do it. Because these are technical gorges, meaning they require ropes and gear, so not just anyone can enter. And they're often hidden. We've taken people into gorges that are right next to where they live. They've passed by them thousands of times and had no idea they were even there. Then we take them down and they say, "What is this? We didn't even know it existed." And because these places aren't easily accessible, they're truly untouched and wild, and have a different kind of beauty.
Canyoning, just to clarify, for those who might not know, is the descent of a gorge that has elevation changes. Not just walking, you need a rope, a harness, and a guide to help you. Navigate the descent. You start from the highest point of a gorge, what we call the entrance, and then you walk, and in some spots you use ropes to climb down and eventually end up at the lowest point, which in Crete often means the gorge opens up onto a magical and beautiful beach.
And those landscapes, as you mentioned, are still pristine. Sadly, what many people say is that some of these so-called hidden gems have become so well known that during July and August, they are impossible to visit.
Exactly, whereas in there, you won't see that, because access requires technical gear and training, plus guidance. It's a landscape unlike anything else I've seen in Crete. It's exactly what you said in the intro, it's Crete as you've never seen it. It's Crete, but differently. Not the usual images that are promoted as part of the island's tourism. And especially during peak season, when beaches and other places are overwhelmed. These are places where you can go and enjoy the calm. For those who appreciate peace and quiet, and the great thing about these places, these activities, is that they support year-round tourism on the island. Because these aren't just summer activities for July and August, they're available all year, and Crete, as both Thomas and I and others involved in these activities know well, especially those of us who've traveled abroad for similar experiences, realize how much more we could be doing here too. Their natural wealth, so it doesn't get overused and stressed over 2 or 3 or 6 months, but rather throughout the entire year. And our island has that potential, we just haven't really focused our attention in that direction.
Could you name a few places, some gorges or activities, that are among your favorites or are especially popular with visitors?
One of my favorite activities is when we, for example, we've done the Soutsouris Gorge at night. We start in the evening and come out at night with headlamps, and we've camped on the beach. We slept on the beach with great company, and the next day we did the Maridaki Gorge, which ends at that incredible beach again. And near the end of the route, there's this spot that looks like a cafeneo, like a small cafe, that no one really knows about. And there's a lady or a man who cooks for you.
A home-style dish with whatever ingredients they have.
It's like your mum or your grandma cooked for you. And a cold beer. And the whole experience is just amazing. There are so many places like that in Crete, where you do the activity, end up on a beach, and nearby there's a little spot only a handful of people know, or you wouldn't even guess it's a taverna. And that, in a way, is the perfect ending to the whole experience.
Exactly, and it's what people are looking for, something. Just like with beaches, the same goes for tavernas and restaurants. You want something peaceful where you can taste what a Cretan would actually eat.
These are truly authentic Cretan places.
There are other activities participants really enjoy as well. That was the original question, after all. One of them is the Via Ferrata, in a beautiful spot in southern Heraklion, in Capitaniana. It hugs the rock beautifully, and includes all kinds of moves that someone who enjoys climbing would love. And in the same area, there's a hiking route that passes by the beach of Elygia, also a Greek gem. Goes past the cave of Agios Antonios, ends up at Kouduma's monastery, and you can also hike back the same way. And in that same location with the Via Ferrata, there's also a climbing sector. And canyoning. You're basically in one spot in Crete, and you have three or four different outdoor experiences available. You get to do it all, and see it all. Of course, we also have climbing sectors in Crete that our activity participants love. But I think canyoning is for groups, people who want to share an experience together, perhaps colleagues from the same workplace.
It's great because they engage fully together and it really bonds the group.
And you've done similar activities in other parts of Greece and abroad. Can we say Crete has something special you don't find elsewhere? Many people tell us it's rare to swim in the morning and be in the snow by night. The distances are so short, landscapes so different, it impresses them. Is that something you believe is unique to Crete? Something you see only here?
That's definitely true, as they say. Most canyoning routes, for example, are high up, at elevation. So yes, they have water, and the gorges themselves, etc. But they don't end on a sunny beach. They are shaded. And then you emerge onto a beach and swim. It's unique overall.
Abroad is a bit different, greener, perhaps, but it's different. In Crete, many people like that wildness. They love the dry landscapes they see. People are so used to forests and greenery. And then come see this wildness. And some places have a unique energy.
Like the Asteroosia Mountains, for example. And of course, Siloritis and the White Mountains go without saying.
What you said is true. Someone from the south side can put on crampons on Siloritis. Climb to its peak in the morning. Come down, return. And then go to Eyoferango, for instance, and swim, all in the same day. That is truly unique. It's unmatched.
I think what really makes Crete special, especially to foreign tourists or fellow guides, is the people themselves. I'll say this about food, because we know that after a hard activity, everyone wants to recharge, relax. And eating together bonds the group. It's the culmination of the experience. And the locals, the way they share stories, offer you treats even at meals, is something you won't find elsewhere. At least not where I've been. I think that's what makes Crete stand out. That hospitality is woven into the island's very history.
And earlier we mentioned accidents. Any advice you would give to someone listening who wants to experience all this?
Look, back when I used to dive, there was a rule, never go without a buddy.
Of course.
Even on the simplest hike, always at least two people. It may sound funny, but it's good to wear helmets. Even on an easy hike, because there are wild goats. When we're in a gorge, especially a tall one, there's rockfall risk. So, as strange as it may sound, it's a good idea to wear a helmet. Never underestimate.
Foreigners ask us, sorry for the interruption, what's the most dangerous animal in Crete, and we say the goats, and they laugh. But we say yes, because when you're walking in that beautiful little gorge, with the pebbles, and you step on one and something happens, you just don't expect it. At least we don't have bears in Crete.
Never underestimate even the easiest trail. Because you need water, sunscreen, proper shoes.
Yes, and always check the weather forecast, because often some gorges are closed due to high winds, for example.
Yes, and we do have forecasts and bulletins, but not for every gorge in Crete. We have them for the more popular hiking ones, like Korteliotis, Samaria and a few others, because those get the most visitors. There's no announcement system for others to help people stay safe, so someone has to really prepare like a mountaineer. As you said, get the forecast, get the map, check the elevation gain to see if it suits their level. Check the temperature, it's usually summer, but even in winter, to know how much water there is, what kind of clothes to wear. Definitely the right shoes, as we said, because that's where most accidents happen. And always go with company, because if something happens, someone needs to help you. We've experienced this, we've seen it.
Locals will share information too. And of course, if something is technically demanding, always go with a guide. And from our experience these past years, people are starting to ask for that. Even for things that seem simple to some. They call us for information and if they realize it's serious, they ask for our support as guides.
Yes, foreigners might call and ask for details, and of course we provide them freely, even if we're not guiding them. They want to do it self-guided, on their own. All the websites of the Mountaineering Federation, the Hellenic Rescue Team, even independent guides like us, publish basic info. So it's good to look things up before setting off.
And for you, what's the biggest reward? What would you like someone to take away from joining you on one of these outings in Crete?
I'll answer that a bit differently. What amazes and re-energizes me, and we've talked about this with Valia, is that when we do an activity,
what they leave behind, not what they take. All their worries and burdens, they leave lighter.
They forget everything. They finish the activity and say, "We forgot everyday life, we forgot the problems." They've gained energy, and usually they can't wait for the next adventure. When are we going again? And what they ultimately take away, they forget their routine and problems, and what they gain is a fresh charge of energy and strength to keep going into the next week.
Many times people tell us that because of this experience, the rest of the week feels easier. They don't think those things are that serious anymore. A colleague annoyed me, some problems at home, the kids, because we're just looking forward to the next activity. And I'd say they gain something else, too. They build confidence. And I don't just mean confidence in hiking or being in the mountains. I think people who gradually start doing this, because they come face to face with the vastness, the sheer scale of nature, the mountains, and they realize they can survive out there. They gain more resilience for the things they have to deal with back in everyday life, because things take on a different perspective. They trust themselves a bit more, and the whole problem takes a new shape. You say to yourself, "I survived that, I managed that, can't I handle this?" You approach things more calmly, because up in the mountains, many times, you learn about staying methodical, about keeping your cool, following a process, and that too is a mindset you can bring into your everyday life.
Thank you so much for being with us and sharing all these moments. Let's encourage everyone to switch off the TV, the computer, even their phone, and go have an adventure, safely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we're waiting for everyone, and for you too. It will definitely be a unique experience.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to express ourselves.